Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, football fans. This is Jed Ginn coming to you from sunny Southern California for Friday Night Football Preview and extension of Women's Football Talk. And I'd like to thank DJ for the opportunity to get back on the air here. I'm on the mend from knee surgery, and I've rejoined the land of the coherent. They did that Vicodin. But we've got some football to talk about this evening. And first of all, let's start with recapping what happened in the leagues the last couple weeks. Week six for the IWFL, there were quite a few games on tap. The Minnesota Vixen beat the Iowa Crush for a 20-38. The New York Sharks played the DC Divas. They lost to the Divas 21-7, but that was only a 14-point spread, so that's pretty good against the Divas. The Philadelphia Firebirds went to Boston and played the Militia. They lost 60-0. This is a game that shocked me. The Chicago Force played the Demolition, and the Demolition beat them 21-19. There's some things going on with the Force. First of all, I know they lost their quarterback, amongst a few other things. But anyway, that was a surprising score to me. Kansas City Tribe handily beat the Clarksville Fox. The Manchester Freedom beat the Southern Maine Rebels 13-8. Well, I didn't give you the Tribe score, huh? Kansas City Tribe won 48-6 against the Clarksville Fox. Manchester Freedom and the Southern Maine Rebels, the Freedom won 13-8. The Dallas Diamonds beat the Louisiana Fuel by huge margin, 64-0. The Holyoke Hurricanes played the New England Intensity. The Intensity won that 53-0. The Jersey Justice played against the Baltimore Nighthawks, and the Nighthawks won that pretty handily, 32-6. One of the closer games of week six for the IWFL, the Seattle Majestics and the Sacramento Sirens were banging it out again, and that was a pretty exciting game from what I hear. But the Majestics did hang on to that win 21-20. So that was one of the closer games of the week. The Orlando Mayhem lost to the Miami Fury. So there's an in-Florida game there. Miami Fury had 27. The Mayhem had 6 points. The Los Angeles Amazons played the New Mexico Maniacs and beat them 50-0. The SoCal Breakers won against the Tucson Monsoon. That was a score of 32-6. The New York Nemesis played at Pittsburgh Passion, and Passion won 41-0 in that particular game, which is surprising that they won. I thought the Nemesis beat the Sharks, but maybe I got that backwards. I'll go back and look that up. Tennessee Valley Tigers beat the Louisville Nightmare, and Corvallis Pride went to Portland, played the Shockwave. The Shockwave beat them 33-0. 77-7 was the score, with the Palm Beach Punishers being plummeted by the Atlanta Explosion, and Cape Fear Thunder lost to the Chattanooga Locomotion, and that score was 60-0. And then there was one Sunday game this week. The Holyoke Hurricanes played the Montreal Blitz. The Blitz won 2-0. Now, I think that that's an actual score. Sometimes they throw in a forfeit on me when it's something like that, but I believe that that's an actual game. Swinging over to the WFA, Philadelphia Liberty Bells played the Keystone Assault and won by 2 points. That was a really close one. I believe those two teams are in the same conference. Yes, the Liberty Bells are 4-0, and the Assault are 1-3. I could not believe that score either. So I don't know if they were resting some players in that game, or if the the assault stepped up, the bell, Liberty Bell stepped down. I don't know, but that was a surprising score to me. The Connecticut Cyclones and the Baltimore Burn, I think that's a forfeit. The Burn picked that game. The New Jersey Titans played the Birmingham Tiger Cat, and the Titans won that 26-6. The Comets, an undefeated team, won against the Pittsburgh Force 38-0. And the Karma is rolling along. They continue to win. They beat the Cleveland Fusion 20-12. The West Michigan Mayhem played against the Indiana Speed, and Mayhem won 20-15. That was a pretty good game, I think. Fort Wayne Flash played against the Toledo Rain and won handily 47-0. The Gulf Coast Riptide beat the Memphis Belle 50-8, I believe it is. And the New Orleans Blaze beat the Emerald Coast Barracudas 39-20. The St. Louis Slam played against the Iowa Thunder and beat them 35-7. The Minnesota Machine played against the Kansas City Storm, and the Machine won 50-0 on that one. The Lone Star Mustangs have continued their winning streak. I believe they're still undefeated. They played against the Houston Cyclones, and that was another one, another close game. The Mustangs won 14-12. And then we had the Phoenix Prowlers against the Marana She-Devils, and that was 6-0. Again, that, I think the She-Devils might be a forfeiture team. And surprisingly, in the WFA, there are only two games this weekend. I guess they're trying to give everybody time off for the three-day weekend, Memorial Day holiday, I guess. Maybe they took that day off. I don't know. But anyway, the two games, the Karma, the Kentucky Karma are going to be playing against the Pittsburgh Force, and the Las Vegas Showgirls face the Phoenix Prowlers. I'm going to go with the Karma and the Showgirls in that particular matchup, or set of matchups, I guess I should say. So we'll see how I go on that. That's not too much of a gamble, two games there. Heading back to some of the statistics for the, we'll start with IWFL. Again, I was going over how the teams are rated and a little comparison between the Matthew Macy, I can't ever remember that, ratings. We've got the DC Divas in first place. Actually, they're in first place in that and the overall ratings. Their rating in the Macy Massey ratings is 2.29, and they're followed by the Diamonds. And the Diamonds are just above the 2 mark. The level 2, they're 2.079. Third place is the Pittsburgh Passion, followed by the Boston Militia, whereas in the overall ratings, the Boston Militia are on top of the Pittsburgh Passion. And their scores are negotiable as far as the Massey ratings. Pittsburgh is 184, Militia is 182. And then the overall ratings, Boston is 3.72, and Pittsburgh is 3.49. Then we get into a whole bunch of gobbledygook here. Number 5 is the Chicago Force for both of those. And then followed in a Massey, number 6 is the Detroit Demolition. Then the Atlantic Explosion, the New York Sharks, the Miami Fury, the Kansas City Tribe. And then way down at number 11 is the Amazons. And then following them is the Majestic. And I can't really understand that. I tried to make some sense out of it. We've got the Amazons and the Majestic. They're both 5-0, and yet they're way down in number 11. When the Divas, I mean, are number 1, and they're 4-0. Now, I understand there's some way that they weighed this Tier 1 teams, Tier 2 teams, yada, yada, yada. But it just seems to me like that is just a huge disadvantage when they're 5-0 to be a down, like, 10 positions. The Militia are 5-0, and yet, you know, they're down in fourth place. So I'm not, the ratings are crazy, and I just wish that there was a little bit of a better system for them to look at, I don't know, maybe even players. And of course, it might be damaging these teams that they don't have statistics. course, the Diamonds, I don't think, are submitting statistics either, but we'll see. So anyway, then we move over to overall ratings. We got down to number 5. Number 6 was the Miami Fury. Overall ratings have the Amazons a little higher there at number 7. And then right after them, the Detroit Demolition. That Detroit Demolition is really confusing to me how they're so high, because they are 3-2 overall, and yet they have them ranked at number 6 on the Massey ratings and number 8 on the overall ratings. Just unbelievable. Number 9 on the overall ratings is the Seattle Majestic. The Explosion come in at number 10, and then we have the two New York teams, the New York Nemesis, the New York Sharks. And then down at the bottom, I had to mention the Sirens. I think the Sirens are having a pretty awesome year this year. I'm trying to see who they play. Sorry, I have myself all organized for looking at this. I think the Sirens may have a bye this weekend. But that game that they played against the Majestic last week was a barn burner. I believe that theirs was one of the games. If you look at the IWFL's website and investigate a little bit of how the games went this weekend, there seems to be this pattern formulating that a lot of the teams are getting under a minute touchdown from running back to kickoff. So I'm pretty sure that that happened with Boston. I know that in the Amazon Kuwait game, both of those two teams have scored in under 30 seconds. So you got to question whether or not teams are spending enough time on the special teams unit here if we're having so many of these kickoffs run back for touchdowns. Of course, it could just be that we have some phenomenal running backs. That's a good possibility. The game's coming up this week, and we'll get into some more statistics. I got the passing, rushing, all those kind of things to get into. But the games this week for the week 7 of the IWFL, the Aftershock play in Houston against the Energy. I'm going to go with the that particular game. I think the Energy are going to take that. The Crush and the Warriors play, and I am definitely going to have to go with the Warriors on that one. The Warriors are just unstoppable when it comes to those tier 2 teams. They've really had a good season so far. The Majestics are going to play the Shockwave, and the definite outcome of that, I'm looking towards the Majestics. They're just a little bit stronger team there. Now, Amazons are going to play the Breakers. Definitely looking at the Amazons taking that one. Then we go to the Locomotion playing the Queens, and taking the Queens on that one. The Illusion play at the Blitz field. Let me see if I can give you information on where the Blitz are out of. I don't have all these tier 2 teams memorized, but let me see if I can stall for a minute and look that up. Montreal Blitz, and then the Erie Illusion, and I believe the Blitz will be taking that game. The Rage. Where the Rage out of? Let me see if I can find that in here. Not coming out real quick. There must be a tier 1 team, and I'm not finding them. There we go. No, still not finding them. Corvallis Pride, I believe, will take that game against the Rage. And if I find where the Rage are out of, I'll update that. The Maniacs and the Quake will face off. That's definitely probably going to be a Quake game victory, and they deserve a couple of those. We've talked about them in the past, how much they've improved even since the first game of the season. The Montoon and the Menace will be playing, and let's see, the Montoon are out of Tucson. Let me see if I can find the Menace here. Menace are out of New Mexico. And looking like that game, I'd probably go to the Monsoon. The Divas play against the Nighthawks there in D.C. The Divas will take that game pretty handily. Probably one of the better contests this week is going to be between the Passion and the Demolition. Now, we talked about ratings. The Demolition are number 6 and number 8, while The Passion are number 3 and number 4. So it definitely looks like The Passion are going to take that one still. Man, The Demolition, they beat the Force, so they're definitely something, a team to be reckoned with. So Phoenix, and let's see where they're out of. Need to make my notes a little bit more clear so I can give you better information. The Carolina Phoenix will be playing the Punishers, and the Phoenix team is having a pretty good season this year. I believe they'll be taking that one. The Rebels are playing against the Vipers. The Vipers are from Central PA, and the Rebels, let me see where the Rebels are out of. Southern Maine. And it's looking like the Rebels will probably take that one. They're rated just a slight bit higher. The Thunder and the Nightmare will face off. The Nightmare are from Louisville, and the Cape Fear Thunder, they're very close. That's going to be a tight game, and it could be anybody's ball game on that one. The Fox, Clarksville Fox, is that who it is? Yeah. Clarksville Fox will face the Tigers. That's the Tennessee Valley Tigers. The Fox have had a really good season. They're a pretty strong team, so I'm going to pull their number for the win. Minnesota Vixen will travel to Chicago and play the Force. And I mentioned a little earlier that troubling things have happened for the Force, and yet they have managed to put together a fairly good season. One of the things that's a little unfortunate for them, that they've lost a couple of key players, particularly Sammy Graffi, their quarterback, and she is out with a knee injury. We're hoping she returns soon, but I know that has caused them to make some shifts. And sometimes in the women's football world, one or two shifts will turn things around considerably. So, for instance, you know, you don't have Sammy a quarterback. So what they ended up doing is taking one of their main receivers. Let me see if I can pull her name for you. Albiona, and how do you say her last name? It's Zhubi. I'm going to say Zubi. Albiona Zubi. They switched her from receiving into the quarterback position. She had a really nice game, but it just, you know, makes some transition. So I'm going to go with the Force against the Vixen. I definitely think the Force are still strong enough to overpower the Vixen, but like I said, that head-to-head matchup between the Demolition and the Force, I would have called the Force on that particular game and looked at how it turned out. Now, the Atlanta Explosion will be playing the Miami Fury. Let me see if I have information on those two teams. The Fury are 4-0, and the Explosion are 4-1. And the Fury have an overall rating of 2.9, while the Explosion have a rating of 2.6. And then we turn that around and look at the Massey-Nacy ratings, and the Miami Fury are at 1.01, while the Explosion are 1.2. I'm going to go with the Fury on this. I think that they'll probably have a little bit better time of it, but I can't help but say that might be one of the better matchups of this particular week 7. Let me see if I can get in here and find a little bit more information about the schedules and how these guys have gone head to head here. Have to apologize about my slowness on that. The Fury have not played the Explosion. This will be the first meet matchup. Let's see if there's anybody that's played against them that's a common opponent. Let me get back to the main website here. Again, I'm working with a double-down computer. I'm having a little trouble with my Mac, so I had to go to the PC world. And, you know, I'm a Mac people. I don't know how many of you out there like PCs. I particularly am not fond of them, but you know. Okay, so let's see if they have any common opponents. It doesn't. Let's see, energy. They both played the energy. How did that turn out? The Fury won against the energy, score of 21-0. Let's see how the explosion won 38-7. Boy, this is a tough one to call. I think the Fury will take it, but that's going to be one of the closer games. We'll see. This might give us an idea of which one of those rating systems is the most accurate. So we'll see. Delving in a little bit closer to some of the statistics, BJ and I have been talking all season about how important these statistics are, so I have to give my little disclaimer here. I can only give you my analysis of what is on the website. According to the website, certain people are in certain positions as far as passing leaders, receiving leaders, rushing leaders, defensive leaders. But I do not think that we have a complete picture because there, nowhere, anywhere that I could find, is there any statistic leader from the Dallas Diamonds when it comes to offense. And, you know, how can you be one of the teams who's blowing people out of the water and absolutely beyond a shadow of a doubt not have anybody in the stats? So I think the Diamonds are holding out on us. I think only one team has scored against them. That's the Atlantic Explosion. So, you know, it seems to me like they ought to have pretty good stats defensive-wise, too, although I'm sure that most of the time their offense is on the field. But okay, so anyway, passing leaders for the IWFL. Running the tribe is Jenny Schmidt, and this girl is a lean, mean football machine. I so would love to see this girl play. She seems to have some pretty dynamic skills and is definitely not afraid to use them. She's got a total, I'm stalling here just a bit so I can get my glasses. She's got a total of 1,850 yards. That's 1,850 yards. She has attempted 166 passes and completed 99 of them for a 60% rate of 60%. So that is phenomenal. She has 21 passes that are over 20 yards and 12 over 40, and her average is 11 yards a pass, and she's got 26 touchdowns from passing. Now, if we look at her receivers, Rusty Sowers, Tegan Stewart, and I believe there's another one down the list, Brittany Fisher, all of those are in the top 10 as far as receiving leaders. Rusty Sowers is at the top of the list. She's got 559 yards. Right under her in second place is Tegan Stewart with 458 yards. And then down at number six, I believe it is, maybe eight, is Brittany Fisher. She's got 382 yards. So I'm telling you, the tribe offense, and I can't speak from experience or know, or knowledge as far as who their opponents are and if they've just been playing teams that don't have a real good secondary, but I'm telling you, she has totally wrecked up the passing yards. Now, in second place with total yards, now, the way that the website organizes these statistics is I believe they've got them organized by percentage, which is fine, but that doesn't always give you the true picture. There's a lot of ways you could organize it, I guess. But they definitely didn't do it average passes or total yards. So I kind of can skip around here and give you what my opinion is. In second place, as far as total yards passing, is Karen Mulligan. Now, she's had 88 attempts and 46 completions, and that puts her at a percentage of 52. Above her, Karen Mulligan plays for the Sharks. Above her is the quarterback for the Nemesis, and that is Val Halesworth, and she has accumulated 564 yards. She's got a higher percentage rate. She's got 60 completions out of 88 attempts, so they both have 88 attempts. But Karen Mulligan has almost, 200 yards further. So you can see there's a number of ways. Do you want to go by percentage of accuracy? Do you want to go by, total yards? In my opinion, the total accumulation of yards is a little bit more important. Mulligan is averaging almost 9 yards a pass, and Halesworth is averaging about 6.5 yards per pass. Now, as far as the distance thrower, it's Jenny Schmidt. She's got 12 throws for over 40 yards. Let me see who's got the touchdowns. Obviously, Jenny Schmidt's got the most touchdowns. She's got 26. Karen Mulligan has 10. In third place is Marty Albert. Now, she's a the quarterback for the Tigers. I think it's the Tennessee Tigers. Anyway, she's a quarterback for the Tigers. She has accumulated 688 yards. She's thrown 56, completed 35. So her percentage rating is 63. Her average is 12 yards a pass, and she's had 9 touchdowns. She had 12 passes that were over 20 yards, only 4 for 40 plus, but still that's a pretty good number. And then following that is Sammy Grisafi. Now, Sammy has only played, I think she played the first 3 games. I can't remember how many she's played, but this girl was the leader for at least the first couple weeks, I think the first 3. She's only accumulated 567 yards, but she's only had 78 attempts. She's completed 40 of those, so her percentage rating is around the 50 mark. Her total TDs, though, is 7 TDs, and she's had 9 passes over 20 yards. So swinging over then to her receivers, one of the main receivers for the Force, I mentioned already, Albiona Zuby, and she plays for the Force. Another one is Martha, goodness gracious, let me see if I can get this, Bantuma. Those two players have racked up quite a few receptions. Between them, they've got about 500 yards. So definitely those two have accumulated those a lot of those yards when Sammy was in at the QB. Another receiver that has been pretty amazing is Sherry, I think it's Dick, and she's got 250 yards accumulated. Her average is 41 yards per catch. She's already got 4 touchdowns. The thing that's amazing about that particular statistic is she plays for the Warriors, is that Brenda Van Tuick, maybe Cusick, I can't remember if that's how you pronounce her name. She's the quarterback for the Warriors. She's got 478 yards, a percentage or a completion percentage of 58%. She's 42 for 73. But she also is one of the top rushers in the league. So the Warriors have a complete double threat there. And then she's had 424 yards. She's number 6 as far as the rushing leader for total yards. So not only is she a threat with the arm, but she's also got some speed and evidently has quite a bit of agility. So, but her main receiver is definitely Sherry Dyke. Then, when we get down a little further, you got the Sharks, and Laura Pringle, I believe, is right up in there. And the Pride have a top receiver, Simone Shepherd. The Nemesis have 3 receivers, Lauren Manfred, Val Monaco, and Kate Schlack. Those 3 girls have accumulated almost 500 yards between the 3 of them. There's a couple of girls for the Freedom. Now, you'll recall that Lori Izzy for the Freedom was the 2nd as far as her percentage. So, what can they have based that on? I cannot understand what they based that on. She's only got 423 yards, and her percentage is 40. I don't know what they're basing that on, why she's up there like that. You know what? They're just using the first column, and they're basing their passing leaders are organized by attempts. Well, that's an easy way to put that. But anyway, the Freedom have 2 receivers, Jamie Naylor and Jennifer Pierig, and those girls have both made quite a few catches. The Sharks Lauren Pringle, but then down a little bit lower is Lisa Doran with 145 yards. I don't think I mentioned it, but Lauren Pringle has 259 yards. So those are the ones that we have for some of the receiving leaders. Now, getting back over to the offensive side, Tiffany Newcomb, who plays for the Tier 2 team, the Locomotion, she has the fourth highest touchdown number. She's got 8 touchdowns so far. And then for the Divas, Alyssa Hamlin, their quarterback, has accumulated 343 yards total. And her percentage is about the 50% mark, 52. And she hasn't had quite as many touchdowns, only 6. But now, you see in looking at this why I say that it's very difficult for me to believe that all teams are reporting information, because we've got several teams here who have not even been represented at all, and yet they're one of the top teams. So we got the Amazons, although the Amazons have a player in the defensive category that's represented, but the Amazons are not in there. The Who's not in there? Militia's not in there. The Diamonds are not in there. It's just a little bit shocking to me that we have all of these statistics, and yet what, the top tier of the league, nobody's represented. Nothing from the Explosion, nothing from the Passion. Now, when we get over to the rushers, we would see Lisa Horton in there. Lisa Horton has, that's the quarterback for the Passion. She's accumulated 300 yards passing, but I can't believe that a quarterback that's known for her running is not in the rushing leagues, but nowhere to be found, according to this. We do have up at the top of the rushing ladders, rushing leaders, 139 yards per game. Now, that's my pick of how I would organize it. Oh, no, wait. Let me correct that. 145 yards per game. A player from the Force, Karen Silvestri. Now, you combine that threat with Sammy Grishofi, and boy, you can see why we had a dynamic power there in Chicago. And then you see what happens when you take Sammy out, and we got to then filter somebody else in at quarterback, takes away one of the receivers. So anyway, but number two as far as yards per game with 139 per game is Steph Samuelson, and she plays for the Intensity. And then we have Vanessa Santillan from the Breakers. The Sirens are represented with 91 yards a game by Jenny Ann Kwan. And then the Nemesis, Ziamora Diaz, has got about 75 yards a game. Another player for the Force, Esther Hennigan, she's averaging 100 yards per game. She's already racked at 402. I guess I could go through and give you the leaders by yardage. Steph Samuelson from the Intensity is 695 yards so far. Vanessa Santillan from the Breakers has 648. Those two were over 600. And that can't be right either, because what are we in? This is going to be week 7. So our statistics are up through week 6. So I know that we've got more people who have broken 100 yards per game average, but, whatever. Let's see. And not everybody's played that many games. I mean, we're probably about at the 5 or 6 mark, but still. Jenny Ann Kwan from the Sirens, she's got 549 yards. Karen Silvestri from the Force, 580 yards. Ziamora Diaz, the Nemesis, she has 379 yards. Tammy Singletary of the California Quake, 338 yards. Jennifer Bean, from the Mayhem, she has 327 yards, a total of 81.75 yards per game. And from the Warriors, the quarterback, I already mentioned her, Brenda Van Quick. She's got 424 yards. Now, this is a Tier 2 team. I'm not sure of their record. Let me flash back. The Warriors are 2-3, so they played 5 games. But remember, she's one of the top as far as passing, too. She must have quite a bit of experience. I'm wondering if she played for the Polar Bears. actually, the Northern Eye. 84 yards per game, but 424 total. Then we have Esther Hennigan from the Force. She's got 402 total yards, averaging 100 per game. Okima Pickett from the Divas is averaging 61 yards per game. Crystal Sanderson from the Majestics, she's averaging 54 yards per game. Then we have Rachel Gore from the Majestics, averaging 71 yards per game. And Angela Mims from the California Quake is averaging 76 yards per game. She's eighth overall as far as yards per game. Let's see if there's anybody else. So leading as far as total yards is Steph Samuelson, followed by Vanessa Centillion from the Breakers. And then number three is Karen Silvestri from the Force. And then number five is Ashley Sharp. She's from the Sirens. She's accumulated 444 yards. She's averaging 74 yards per game. She's averaging 8 yards per carry. And then Kayla Clark from the Breakers is averaging 9 yards per carry. Those two girls have pretty high, they're number one and number two for her average per carry. And then number three was up there, Karen Silvestri from the Force. So that gives you a little bit of information about some of the rushing leaders. Now, just to give us a little comparison between the two leagues, I thought it might be interesting if I would dip on over and look at the statistics for the ball carriers for the WFA. I don't have a lot of predicting to do for that particular league, so I thought we'd delve into the statistics a little bit more. And it'll kind of give us a look. And if you want to look at this as far as, you know, how would I say this? It, you know, looking at the statistics yourself, it's very simple, you know, to go over to the website and try and take a peek at this. But as far as the statistics for the top rushers in the WFA, the way that they've ranked the girls is by total yard, okay? And so we have Leah Cassis from the Speed. Now, this is a little bit easier to read, especially since they put the team on there and I don't have to go click it around and look it up. And her longest carry was 75 yards. That's kind of an interesting thing to know. So the person in the WFA who's made the longest carry is really easy to find. You can just look it up like that. But her Leah Cassis has an average of 15 yards per carry, and she's got 10 touchdowns. Then we have Jennifer Bowling from the Thunder. She's had 52 carries, a total of 700 yards. Her longest was 68 yards. She's averaging 13 yards per carry, and she's got 12 touchdowns. Now, the difference in these two leagues is that this is week seven. This is week seven for the IWFL, but for the WFA, we are looking at, what is it, week six? Let's see. On the wrong page here for that information. What's the year? Week six. So we're a week or two behind, and so we see a little bit of a difference here. Not too much, but a little bit. Now, the third person as far as rushing is Lakeisha Johnson, and she plays for the Riptide. And she's accumulated 654 yards. Her longest carry was 85 yards. She's averaging 11 yards per carry with 9 touchdowns. Then Shadana Hurd from the Outlaws, she gets 641 yards. Now, Mary Rose Roach of the Liberty Bell has 556 yards. And that doesn't seem right to me because she had 556 yards back, or what was it, show two or something like that, maybe it was the first show, and that was like week three, and that doesn't seem like the numbers have changed at all. So she's averaging 27 yards a carry, and she's only got 5 touchdowns. I don't believe that that's up to date, and I don't think they've had that many 5s, but I could be wrong. Heather Anderson of The Flash has accumulated 540 yards. Jessica Plunkett of The Bell has 500 yards. And then the Comets are having a pretty good season. Shelley Gates of the Comets has 440 yards. The Dixie Blues, little running back Kim Brown, what do they call her? Kim, I can't remember. Rocky Brown, Kim. Yeah, that's it. 435 yards. Now, see, that doesn't seem outdated to me either. She's averaging almost 20 yards a carry, but she's only got 6 touchdowns. And I think that I read those statistics a while back. The Comets have a second running back, Brianna Martin, who has nearly 400 yards. And then Kiva Thomas of the Speed has 345. See, the problem is you can't really look at these and know that they are updated statistics. So it's a little bit frustrating when you look at that. Now let's see if we can get some information about the quarterback. Let me first of all look and see how they are organizing. Okay, the WFA organizes theirs or has theirs in order of their ratings. Okay, so that means how many passes and how many yards and all of that. And the person who's in front is Jody Markowitz. She plays for the Mayhem. And she's got 43 completions of 87 attempts. Her rating is 114. She has accumulated 787 yards with an average of 18 yards. She's got 10 touchdowns. And then if we look, the Liberty Bells, Michael Lynn Austin, she has accumulated only 228 yards, but she's got a really high rating. The Dixie Blues, Brantley Mack, has accumulated 474 yards. She has 107 for a rating. She's got an average of 33 yards per pass, and she has accumulated 9 touchdowns, so she's having a pretty good year. Let me see where the next one is as far as accumulation of yardage. That would be Jennifer Hole of the Mustang. She's got 458 yards, according to this. Her rating is not quite as high, but she's averaging 19 yards per pass. Right after her would be Dana Miller of the Speed. Now, the Speed have had a heck of a year as far as offense. It seems like they're really doing well. Now, you remember that their running back has accumulated 700 yards, and then you add to that the number of yards, what was it? 435 that their quarterback has thrown, and I think Dana Miller's thrown even further than that. I don't think that's accurate, but I could be wrong. Her rating's only 75. She's only averaging 13 yards a pass, but she's got 6 touchdowns. Liz Lacey of the Slam has 7 touchdowns, and Ella Williams of the Riptide has 8 touchdowns. And let me see if there's anybody else who's got nobody else has that many touchdowns. The assault quarterback, Rachel Fisher, has 392 yards accumulated, and her average is 17 yards a throw. So that gives you a little comparison as far as team rushing. The Outlaws are followed closely by the Liberty Bells. Now, see, the Liberty Bells are up 13,000. They average 300 yards a game, so I can't see that other statistic of their individual rushers is up to date, because they're still right up there at the top. In fact, they're number one, and the Comets are number two, the Bells are number three, the Riptide, the Speed, and then the Thunder. So somewhere along the way, something's not quite accurate. There are as far as yards a game, the Outlaws are number one, the Liberty Bells are number two, and the Comets are number three. And let's see, it looks to me like there's 8 teams that have averaged 1,000 yards, or that have accumulated 1,000 or more yards. That would be the Outlaws, the Liberty Bells, the Comets, the Bells, the Riptide, the Speed, the Thunder, the Assault, and the Mayhem. So 8 teams in the WFA have over the 1,000-yard mark. Nobody's made it to the 1,000-yard mark in passing, but the Mayhem are in first place with 800 yards so far. And looking real quickly, it appears that the Barracudas are in second place, the Speed are in third place, and then I believe it's the Dixie Bleeds and the Mustangs. So we've got some pretty impressive statistics when we look at offense. Now, being a defensive player, I always like to check out the defensive stats. So let's go back to the IWFL and take a look at what we have as far as defensive leaders. Now, again, I have absolutely, I looked at it, believe it or not, but I really could not tell exactly how they organized this other than the fact that I believe since the first column is interceptions, they're basing it off of that. So I guess if you have somebody who's an awesome tackler and they didn't get a lot of interceptions, they might not even be on here. For instance, the Quaker not on here, and I know that Angela Mims is well as Mindy Martin have racked up tackles in an unbelievable fashion. So, and the only reason I always go back to the California teams is because I've been able to see their games. So, but let's go ahead and go through this and just give you an idea. Amber Moffitt-White of the Los Angeles Amazons is the leader of the pack with 6 interceptions, and she's gotten 172 yards off of those and has made 3 touchdowns. Now, she's no slacker as far as tackle. She's accumulated 8 tackles. And leading the stats and tackles is a player for the Crush, and that's Holly Stevens. Oh, no, let me correct that. It's Lane Ensign from the Tribe, and she's had 61 tackles. And then in second place is Holly Stevens for the Crush with 54 tackles. Now, she also had 3 interceptions. Lane Ensign from the Tribe has only had 2. And let's see, number 3 is Jennifer Pyrig, and she plays for the Freedom. She's had 38 tackles. She's also had 3 interceptions for 83 yards. Number 4 is Sherry Dyack of the Warriors. She's had 37 tackles, 3 interceptions. So evidently that girl never comes off the football field. Number 5 is Gail Pittman of the Majestics. She's had a total of 29 tackles, and she's also had 2 interceptions. Number 6 is Donna Bruce for the Nemesis with 27 tackles, 2 interceptions. Number 7 is Jennifer McIntyre of the Crush. She's had 24 tackles and as well as 2 interceptions. And then let me see where we're at. Number 8. As far as tackles, is Brooks McKinney of the Sharks, and she had 22 tackles. There's a few other players that have had quite a good number of tackles. Kelly Jordan of the Vipers has had 20 tackles. And then Jamie Naylor, and I don't remember who Jamie Naylor plays for. Let me see if I can get in here and look that up real quick. I'm not sure if I'll be able to, but so. Now, let me flip over, see if I can find you some defensive statistics real quick. Did I print those off? Maybe those tackles. Yeah. Okay, so in the WFA, and I'm not forgetting about that one player that I'm looking at to see where she plays. It's just I'm not going to wait on that. I'll remind you of her name and actually remind myself at the same time. And Jamie Naylor. Okay, so back to tackles, and this is the top tackles, top 20 people with tackles. So Cindy Pearson of the Iowa Thunder, I believe she was the one who was a defensive player for the week a couple weeks ago. She's had 63 tackles. Sharon Tatum of the Bells has also had 63 tackles. Jennifer Plummer of the Mayhem has had 57 tackles. Veronica Rucker of the Fusion, 45. Kathy Ferrari of the Force has 40. Ebony Jones of the Mustangs has 39. And then look at this. We've got 3 more Thunder players. Cindy Taft, Melissa Grimes, and Jennifer Arakawa, all with 37 tackles. And then another one in the top 20, Cindy Cowan of the Thunder with 29 tackles. So we've either got somebody that is a statistical maniac that keeps stats for the Thunder, or else we just got a defensive-minded coach. Now, Jennifer Hirakawa of the Thunder also has 13 stats. So I'm thinking if you are playing the Thunder, you want to be very careful if you're a quarterback or a running back, because you're going to get yourself pounded. Melissa Grimes for the Thunder has had 15 tackles for a loss. So not only has she racked up 37 tackles, 15 of them have been for a loss. She's probably a lineman. Ebony Jones of the Mustangs is leading that statistic, tackles for a loss, with 17 and a half. And then when it comes to interceptions, Jamie Freeman of the Riptide has had 4 interceptions. Rachel Wolf of the Speed has had 3 interceptions. Kelly Burnham, the Tiger Cats, 3 interceptions. Breanne Wright of the Riptide. So the Riptide have 7 altogether. Breanne Wright has 3, and then Jamie Freeman with 4. Can you tell them ADD the way I read these statistics? Cindy Pearson has had 1 interception. She's that one with 63 tackles, in case you can't remember. I'm only speaking to you as though I'm the person listening, and I've forgotten things already. So, going back into the IWFL and seeing if I can find Robin. What was her name? No, was it Jamie Naylor? I think it was Jamie Naylor. She plays for the Freedom. That's right. I didn't write that down. I knew I looked that up. She has had a pretty good defensive season. So, taking all these statistics and looking at them kind of gives you the idea that maybe the IWFL has not kept up on their statistics completely. That's what I'm gathering from this. It's not a definite, but it just seems to me that if we have the WFA, who is a week behind them, and yet has seemingly surpassed most of the statistics, especially defensive statistics. And, you know, if you're going to have offensive statistics, you might as well have accurate defensive statistics, too. It just seems to me like we're not getting enough statistics from some of the teams in the IWFL, even still. Now, BJ and I have harped and harped and harped about this whole statistics thing, and what is it that we want teams to really report statistics for? Is it just because we want to give players recognition? Is it just because, you know, it gives us a way to predict games and play little head games like that? No. But let's go back to Mary Rose, the girl that was so kind enough to come on the show a while back. You know, when we look at her having run 300 yards in a game, that's an accomplishment. It doesn't matter if you're a kid in high school, junior high, if you play college ball, or if you're in the NFL, if you can run 300 yards a game, that's worth some notoriety. That's worth somebody saying, hey, we want to get to know you. This is an amazing accomplishment. It's like a 4-minute mile. It doesn't matter if you run that 4-minute mile in your neighborhood. That's something to hang your hat on. So when these teams don't report their statistics, they're hurting women's football. And I'm sure that you're getting a little sick of BJ and I harping on this, but it doesn't matter. It's important. And the more publicity we can give to these different organizations, and we don't care what league you're in, you know, it doesn't matter. It's about promoting the sport of women's football. Let me go here to what it reads on the, I'm not sure, I think it's on both of the websites, but it's an organization that promotes women's sport, this football. Americans love their football. Although women have just recently begun playing professionally, they have been acting behind the scenes of the game for years as trainers, administrators, and, of course, backyard quarterbacks. Football is a game played between two teams with 11 players on the field at once. A field is 120 yards long, 53 and a half yards wide, with a goal at each end zone, the area where the touchdown points are scored. The purpose is to score as many points as possible or as long as time will allow through points scored by touchdowns or kicks. A team defends their zone while the other team is attacking their line of scrimmage or boundary line. This line is moved down the field when it is breached by the opposing team carrying the ball across it or passing it over the line. Now, I just want to reiterate that we no longer are backyard quarterbacks, and we are no longer making great tackles for no one's feet. We need to get people out to these games. We need to invite our friends, and we don't have to be the backyard quarterbacks anymore. We are organizations with great athletes, with people who've actually played high school ball, people who never thought they had the opportunity to play after they got out of high school. These are, I talked to three or four different players, maybe three on the show, who actually play football when they are in high school and are having a chance to play professionally through these organizations. So make sure that when you go to a game, when you hear a game, invite people over. Cook some snacks. Make some popcorn. Invite your friends. Now, finally, the teams that remain undefeated in the WFA, and if I run out of time, I apologize. This isn't a rocket science, and so I apologize in case I do ahead of time. This has been Deb Gienz with the Women's Friday Night Football Preview, and let me thank again DJ for the chance to do this. In the WFA, the teams that remain undefeated, the Philadelphia Liberty Bells, the West Michigan Mayhem, and the Columbus Comets. Those are all teams in the National Conference. And then teams in the American Conference, the Gulf Coast Riptide, 4-0, Jacksonville Dixie Blues, 3-0, the St. Louis Slam, 3-0, Austin Outlaws are 4-0, and the Las Vegas Showgirls are 3-0. Teams that remain undefeated in the IWFL, the Seattle Majestics, the Los Angeles Amazons, the Boston Militia, the DC Divas, the Dallas Diamonds, the Miami Fury, and I believe those are the ones that remain undefeated. So congratulations to those teams. We have a few teams that are following right at their heels who maybe have one loss. Congratulations to the Demolition for scraping and clawing and beating the Force. Hopefully the Force will be back on their feet, especially Sammy. We hope that's going to happen soon. But our applause goes out to anybody involved with women's football, and I appreciate you listening, and I hope you have a great Memorial Weekend holiday. I'm sorry I didn't have a guest this week, but who knew that I would be off my bike again and ready to go. So you guys have a great week, and watch some football and take some friends. And enjoy the weekend.